From KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Waugh. Let's start with some good news. 2 years ago, the Southeast Dungeness crab season closed early. This year, crab. At 4 million pounds and nearly $13 million, the 2019 Dungy season could end up being the highest harvest in a decade. But it's not all good news for Southeast crabbers. For the second year in a row, there will be no red king crab fishery. Too few crabs, based on surveys in the region. Meanwhile, researchers in the Bering Sea say this year's Chinook salmon numbers are taking a dive. However, it could be that warm water temps are forcing the king salmon farther north so that they aren't showing up in the trawl survey. And finally, for you foodies out there, the 27th Annual Alaska Symphony of Seafood is set for November's Pacific Marine Expo. Remember those pollock noodles that we heard so much about earlier this year? They won last year's Symphony of Seafood. All that coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report, right after this.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
It could end up being the best commercial Dungeness crab season for a decade in Southeast Alaska. This summer's harvest was high, and as Angela Denning reports, managers are expecting the fall season to be good as well.
2017 saw one of the worst harvests in decades for Southeast Alaska Dungeness crab. Managers closed the season early. Things got back on track last summer with an average harvest of 3 million pounds of crab. This summer's harvest is 4.19 million pounds, well above the average.
It went really well this year.
Adam Messmer is a shellfish biologist with the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
This 4.19 million pounds that we caught this summer is actually the second highest season we've had in 10 years, and we still have the fall season to go.
For the past decade, the highest harvest for Dungeness crab for the summer and fall seasons combined is about 5 million pounds. So, this year could end up being the highest harvest in a decade.
It very well could be. If we catch another 800,000 pounds, which is probably pretty likely in the fall, we'll meet or exceed the highest harvest for the last 10 years.
There was good participation in the summer fishery, with 186 permit holders reporting catches throughout Southeast Alaska. The summer Dungeness crab season ran from mid-June to mid-August. The total value of the fishery was $12.8 million. The average price was $3.06 a pound. The area in Southeast with the most harvest and the most participation was District 8 around Petersburg and Wrangell. 77 permit holders brought in just over 1 million pounds of crab there. District 11, including Stevens Passage near Juneau, saw a harvest of nearly 900,000 pounds by 35 permits. District 6, including Duncan Canal and the Level Island area, had 533,000 pounds with 44 permit holders. The fall fishery for Dungeness crab will open October 1st and run through November. Managers expect to see good harvests in that fishery as well. They make their projections according to commercial harvests in the first few weeks of the summer season. In Petersburg, I'm Angela Denning.
But Southeast Alaska won't be seeing a commercial fishing season for red king crab for the second year in a row. The Alaska Department of Fish and Game made that announcement on Thursday, the 12th. The season last opened in 2017 for the first time in 6 years. The catch that year was over 120,000 pounds, worth around $1.3 million at the docks. When it does open, fishing typically happens in November. But the department says stock health is poor or below average in 6 of the 7 areas it surveys. It also says the estimates of crab stocks have declined from last year, when the commercial season never opened because of low estimates. This year, the amount estimated for harvest region-wide is just 109,000 pounds. That's below a 200,000 pound minimum threshold to open the commercial fishery. The department also announced further reductions in areas for personal use for crabbing based on those low stock estimates.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans, on the web at alaskaseafood.org.
Now we go to Nome, where we hear about surface trawling and king salmon. The trawling vessel Northwest Explorer was recently in Nome as it conducts a research survey in the Bering Sea. National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration fisheries scientists on board that ship say they've seen some signs that this year's Chinook salmon numbers are dwindling. Jim Murphy is the survey lead for the Northwest Explorer's surface trawl in the northeastern Bering Sea.
Yeah, we don't see a large movement because they still basically come out, take a left-hand turn, and go south. They could be further north, but I think it's more likely that this is going to be a low abundance year for Chinook or kings.
This Alaska Fisheries Science Center survey has been happening annually for close to 20 years, and Murphy has been involved in almost every one. According to Murphy, one of the concerns that drives this annual surface trawl survey is how the Bering Sea stock of Chinook salmon, also known as king salmon, has fared in the past.
It's been a big concern both for, you know, bycatch avoidance by the pollock fleet, but also the Chinook salmon populations have, crashed in the Yukon and North Sound. So that's kind of been a big driver of continuing those surveys, developing tools that could actually be used by managers to anticipate run sizes in the future.
Murphy and his research team studied the Chinook coming out of the mouth of the Yukon River as they mostly migrate south and southwest into the Norton Sound and Bering Sea. While the researchers follow the fish, their survey routes take the crew from Dutch Harbor along the Bering Sea shelf north until they reach Nome and then back down to Dutch Harbor. Murphy says their trawl survey focuses on different depths of water than that of the bottom trawls that have already been done this summer in the Bering Sea.
We study the pelagics, so that's going to be salmon, herring, you know, juvenile stages of pollock and things like that. Whereas they're focused on adult assessments.
While they still had some time left in their survey when they hit Nome, Murphy says that the surface trawl preliminary has seen quite low numbers of juvenile Chinook, which is not good for future salmon returns.
We're clearly seeing movement of Bristol Bay and southern Bering Sea stocks that generally don't come up this far north. We're seeing a lot of them come up north. So we're still catching a lot of salmon. A lot of pinks, a lot of chums, a lot of sockeye, and they're growing very well. There's no real evidence to suggest that there's a lack of prey for them.
Murphy also points out that this is an unusual year with excessively warm water. So the fish may have been pushed farther north because of water temperatures. However, despite meager initial sightings, he says they can't yet determine what their catches mean in terms of the Chinook salmon's overall abundance. Murphy and his team on board the Northwest Explorer won't know that for sure until they finish trawling in the Bering Sea in the Norton Sound later this month.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. 1-800-992-4960 or online at alaskaboat.com.
And finally, for those of you who love seafood, The call is out for products for the Alaska Symphony of Seafood Competition. That's the competition that helps develop new recipes and garner attention for using all sorts of Alaska fish. Alaska's Fish Radio, Lainey Welch, has this report.
The symphony, hosted by the Alaska Fisheries Development Foundation, provides a platform for new seafood products to boost value and attract new customers. The contest features four categories: retail, food service, beyond the plate, and beyond the egg. Much of the value and health benefits in any fishery comes from parts not destined for the center of the plate, and using them also helps reduce waste. AFDF Director Julie Decker on Beyond the Plate.
We've had salmon leather wallet things made with chitosan, which is from crab shells. We've had fish oil capsules, pet treats. That's another big one.
And Beyond the Egg includes products made with roe.
It could be a paste. We had a shelf-stable jarred salmon roe product 1 year. We had a value-added pollock roe product.
Decker says the symphony is on a mission to get more major sponsors to commit to 3 years to provide more money and stability.
We need more money in order to do more stuff with the symphony, to have more impact for the industry and coastal communities that rely on the industries.
Another push is to grow the competition beyond the dozen or so entries the symphony usually receives.
Anyone that makes anything out of Alaska seafood, they can be a company in the state, they can be a company in the U.S., they can be a company in some other country.
Symphony winners get a free trip to the Seafood Expo North America in Boston in March. Decker says the symphony plans to add even more benefits.
One of the ideas we've had is to start working with retailers to get commitments that they will give retail space to some of the winners.
Product entries are due by October 15th.
That report was provided by Alaska Fish Radio's Lainey Welch.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska's fishermen and their families. AMSEA at mc.org or 907-747-3287.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Joe Vicnicki and Angela Denning from KFSK in Petersburg, Davis Hovey at KNOM in Nome, and Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. Many of the fishing seasons are winding down now, but that doesn't mean you should stuff that life vest into some closet. Remember, anytime you're on a boat, and especially when you have kids near the water, please be sure to have on life vest. They really do save lives. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Walsh.